4CRB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group. With a large team of highly experienced professionals, you can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. Tuesday morning, your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. That's 10:30 Tweed Coast time. All you need to do is get on the telephone. And of course, that number is 55208888. That's 55208888. If you live south of the Tweed River, don't forget you need to put 07 in front of the number. But otherwise, you can call straight through. And as always, we do have our email line, which is talkback@4crb.com. So that's all in lowercase, one word, talkback@4crb.com. If you want to send a question through, which we will be able to deal with next week. But the program is all about your calls, and so we need someone to get on the telephone straight away. You could be our very first caller for the program if you call right now. And thank you to all the people who called in last week and made for a very interesting program. We probably had about as many calls as we're really able to take in a program. I think from memory there were about 8 calls came through, and that's pretty hard to fit into just 25 minutes. So thank you to all the people who called in and made for such an interesting program. You will recall last week that I was talking at length about scam calls and scam text messages, which have now all become the rage, and people are being constantly bombarded with text messages which claim to be from all sorts of delivery companies, saying click on this link for your parcel delivery. And of course, what the link is doing is delivering malware to your phone, so that it can infiltrate your phone and possibly then provide a link to all of your contacts, so that the message can be sent on. And the other thing, of course, is that it could possibly be a virus which is going to infect your phone and can keep a note of websites you visit and also of PINs numbers that you put in, for example, if you're accessing your bank account through your phone. So you need to be extremely careful about those scam calls and scam texts. Just yesterday, my wife and I, between us, received 5 calls from numbers purporting to be Amazon. And it then proceeded into obviously a recorded message. We, of course, immediately hung up on the call as soon as we knew what it was, blocked the number so that it can't send a text message again, and also deleted the number. But interestingly, my wife did find later in the afternoon that she got another text message, another call from exactly the same number, despite the fact that she had put it as a blocked call in her phone. So that was quite interesting. I'm not sure whether there's some sort of glitch in the system or not. But enough of that. We have our very first caller online, Ron. G'day, Ron. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. How can we help you today, Ron?
All I want is the phone number for Body Corporate Assistance.
Oh, yes, for the Office of the Body Corporate Commissioner?
Yes, please.
Yes, okay. Have you got a pen handy?
Ready to go.
Okay, so their number is 1-800.
1-800, yep.
Yep, 060.
060, yep.
119.
119. Good. Yes. Thanks very much.
Okay, Ron, I hope you're able to get it all sorted out. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 10 minutes past 9. That's, of course, 10 minutes past 10 on the Tweed. And a special hello to all of our listeners south of the border. Another thing that I did see during the week, which I thought was quite interesting, is that there is finally a bill before the Queensland Parliament which is going to propose the use of police body cam footage in domestic violence cases as a statement. So in other words, a domestic violence sufferer will be able to be interviewed by the police with their body cam on, and instead of having to make then another statement and relive the incident, the body cam footage will be regarded as the statement for those purposes. Now, obviously, there are going to need to be specially trained officers who take those statements on body cam. And interestingly, the trial in relation to this is going to be run in Ipswich and also on the Gold Coast. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of impact that has on lowering the or reducing the trauma that sufferers of domestic violence go through in reliving events when they need to give a statement to the police. So full marks for finally bringing about those changes. But the program is The Law and You, and the telephone number 55208888. We presently have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, you can give us a call right now. That's 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Bell Legal Group is the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. Their highly experienced team of professionals can provide assistance in wills and estate planning, property law and conveyancing, family law, business and commercial law, and much, much more. Contact our sponsor, Bell Legal Group, on 55973366. That number again, 55973366. Or learn more about what they can offer you at belllegal.com.au.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB, our telephone number 55208888. And just in the lead up to Christmas, it's worth reminding people about the fact that there are a number of statutory holidays which will occur over the Christmas New Year period. And in addition, it's very common for law firms and government departments, including the Land Titles Registry, to close for some period of time over the Christmas New Year period. Now, the thing to be careful about there is if you're looking at buying real estate at the present time, to make sure that you allow sufficient time to get past the Christmas New Year period, or if you have a settlement falling due in that period, to make sure that you check with your lawyer to ensure that arrangements are in place so that your settlement can take place, because obviously there are going to be increased pressures on banks providing finance and all of those sorts of things, and you don't want to end up in a position where through no fault of your own, but just through the number of public holidays that occur in this period, that your lawyer or the other lawyer or your bank would not be in a position to settle. So just be aware of that. And also just be aware of non-standard form contracts which may not allow for days which are gazetted public holidays to not be counted in the period of time in which conditions have to be satisfied. But we'll say a very good morning now to Bridget. G'day, Bridget. How are you today?
Yeah, hi, it's Bridget here.
Yes, I'm
about
help.
The
yes, how can I help?
Yeah, about the scams, I've figured out a way to deal with those. I hardly get any at all now. When I answer the phone that I don't recognise the number, I turn all my sound down and say nothing. If it's a robot call, they just hang up. But if it's a telemarketing call, you can hear all the noise in the background and then you just hang up. Eventually, they stop ringing.
Yes, well,
So you just don't answer. Unless you recognise the caller, you just don't speak.
Oh, well, that's good advice, Bridget. So hopefully any of our listeners out there who are presently getting those rogue calls can take that advice on board as well, in addition to blocking the number, although the problem is, of course, they rotate through so many mobile numbers to call so that, you know, you might block that number, but then you get a call from another one that is, you know, a completely different number but the same caller. All right, Bridget.
Yeah, and I'd be lucky if I got one a fortnight now
That. That's very good. I'm pleased to hear it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Bridget. Okay. Well, thanks for the advice. And the time on 4CRB continues to roll along. It's just coming up to 15 minutes past 9 past 10 on the tweet as we say good morning to Wendy. G'day, Wendy. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
How can I help you today?
I've actually got an odd question. I have often wondered, what is the situation when people get married and the lady usually takes the gentleman's surname? What are the legalities of that, particularly if she chooses, like I did, not to take her husband's surname? Is there any specifics?
No, well, you don't have to take your husband's name, and the only way that you can, in fact, change your name from your birth name to a married name is by taking a positive step in producing a copy of your death, let's make that marriage certificate, to, whoever it is that you want the account, to be in your married name, or if you want your driver's license in your married name, etc. So it is a positive step to be taken. It's certainly not mandatory, as you would well know. That's the way that you can basically do it. Equally, you can also go back to your maiden name from your married name if you choose to as well. All right, then?
Is that after your spouse has died, or is it specifically halfway through you can say, well, I just want to go back? Do you have to do a deed poll change of name thing?
I don't know whether you need to do a deed poll or whether you could just rely upon your original birth certificate to say. But a deed poll these days is now just done through the Registrar General's office. In the old days, you used to have to bring an application to the Supreme Court to change your name by deed poll. So I can't tell you the answer to that, but if you like, I can comment on it next week.
All right. Thank you very much. I've always been interested in this. Never had an answer.
Yes. Okay, Wendy, I hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 18 minutes past 9, past 10 on the tweet, as we say good morning to Len. G'day, Len. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How can I help you today?
My wife and I have been married 5 years.
Yes.
And I've heard of a prenuptial.
Yes.
But is this... It was a postnuptial.
Well,
they could re-enter into an agreement now that, you know, that's similar to a prenup.
Yes, well, prenup is simply a term that describes what's referred to as a binding financial agreement. So binding financial agreement is the correct terminology. And it's sometimes, particularly in American movies, it's referred to as a prenup. So yes, you can do it at any time. And certainly there's no reason why you and your wife would not be able to do it now if you wish to. It follows the same procedure. So both of you need to be legally represented. And there needs to be a certificate signed off by a lawyer representing each of you in relation to the terms. Both of you need to make full and frank disclosure of your assets. And as I say, get independent legal advice before signing off on the document.
All right. Good.
All right. Excellent. Then.
Good.
Okay then, Len. All the very best. And the time just keeps rolling along. It's just coming up to 19 minutes past 9, past 10 on the tweet, as we say good morning to Moyd. G'day, Moyd. How are you today? Hello, Moyd. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yes.
Hi, Moyd. How are you today?
Pretty good, thank you. My daughter and her husband have bought a home, and it's in each of their names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if the husband passes away? Is the house become hers?
Well, it'll depend on how they've recorded the ownership on the title, because, Moyd, there are two ways that you can record ownership where a husband and wife purchase a property. The most common way is to record it as what's called joint tenants. And so joint tenants is equal ownership, and if you purchase as joint tenants, the property will automatically devolve on the surviving joint owner of the property, regardless of what your will says. The other way that you can purchase as a husband and wife, and indeed with any other person or company, you can purchase as tenants in common. Now, the two things about purchasing as tenants in common are that you can purchase in different proportions. So you could own 3/4 of the property and your spouse only owns 25%, or you can own 50-50 as tenants in common. And the other big difference with tenancy in common is that you can leave your interest in the property under your will to whomever you please. So it doesn't automatically go to the surviving other owner of the property because the property is not held as joint tenants. So I would be, depending on your daughter's situation and whether you're wanting the property to go to surviving spouses, joint tenancy may be the way to go. Alternatively, if you're looking to preserve the asset for someone else, then tenancy in common may be an alternative. But in each case, I would be recommending getting legal advice before doing anything.
Are four children.
Uh-huh.
There are four children.
Right.
Does that make any difference?
So they have four children between them.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, it sounds to me as if probably joint tenants would be the best option. And from what you said at the start, it sounds to me as if that's probably the way they have purchased. But as I say, it's best to look at your circumstances and determine which of those two alternatives works for you before finalising. All right then.
Fair enough. Now, can I ask another one?
Sure.
What happens if they have not? If he has not got a will?
Well, it doesn't. If they own as joint tenants, it doesn't matter in relation to the home because, as I said earlier, the home will automatically go to the surviving joint owner, regardless of what the will says.
But the other thing
you need to be concerned about is any other assets that he may have. Particularly these days, you need to be concerned about superannuation and possible life insurance that may be held under the super.
Right.
And so in those circumstances, the husband, for example, should have a binding death benefit nomination in place, preferably a non-lapsing binding death benefit nomination in favour of your daughter so that all of the superannuation will go to her in the event of his death. The other advantage in doing that, of course, too, is that your daughter would be regarded as a dependent for both tax and superannuation purposes, and so the payout under the super would be tax-free. All right,
thank you very much.
Okay, Moyd, all the very best. And that time just keeps rolling along. It's just coming up to 23 and a half minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, as we say good morning to Patricia. Hi, Patricia. How are you today?
Good morning. Not too bad. It's good. I love the rain.
Yes, it's been great, hasn't it?
Yes. What I'm finding is that 2 weeks ago I had some electrical work done in the house, which was necessary, and I asked for the bill for the account. It was a fair amount of money. I asked for the account to be done in paper form. And all I get on my phone, because my husband had a Gmail, and all I get is this thing that doesn't tell me anything anyway.
Hmm.
Are they under an obligation to provide me with a paper copy or?
Well, they're probably not under an obligation to provide you with a paper copy, but you certainly are entitled to proper details in relation to the account. So the account should set out the work that was done, the amount that's being charged, the GST component, and the total that's payable, so that that you can, for example, you might elect to take a screenshot of that Gmail message and save it to your photos would be one way that you could keep a copy of it for yourself. Or do you need, you said this work was done at your home, was it, rather than at a...
It was fire alarms.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
I'll need the paperwork.
Mm, yes, well, a lot of these businesses, unfortunately these days, do a lot of their business electronically, and it is quite a nuisance for people who don't usually do business electronically, and having a paper copy is much better. But provided you've got all the details on that, you can also print that Gmail message off your phone if you have access to a printer to be able to do that.
No.
Or you might be able to go to the library and print a copy at the library.
Yes, no, well, all it says is that I've paid it. It doesn't say what I've paid it for.
Right. Did you have an original quote?
Well, they said they'd sent that to me via the phone, and which was okay, but I never received that either.
Well, the only other thing I could suggest you do, Patricia, is ring them up and say, look, I don't deal with these things electronically, and I really need you to send me a hard copy of the tax invoice.
You will have asked. I asked them before they did the work.
Yes.
And again after when as I was paying them, I said, now I've got paperwork, and they said, well, we'll send you the details. And I said, no, I get my telephone bill. Everything I have is by paper. Electricity bill, nothing is electronic.
So did they say at that time they would send you a paper invoice?
Yes.
Okay, well, if they've said that they will send you a paper invoice, then I would be pursuing them to ensure that you get it.
Oh, okay.
All right, then.
The house is on the market, so I don't understand the legislation fully, but it'll be after January the 1st, which will, I've got to be able to show that the fire alarms have been installed correctly and under the new rules that come in for people to sell their home. That's correct, isn't it?
I think what you need to do from memory is that you need to make a statement in the contract that there are smoke alarms installed and that they are compliant. So I don't know that you have to actually produce evidence. But again, when you list the property, you could, if you're going to be listing with an agent, you could speak to the agent in relation to that, or alternatively speak to your lawyer at the time when you're going to sign the contract, because there is a statement in the standard form of contract about smoke alarms and the fact that they are compliant.
Oh, okay. Now, it's just that, what was the next question? There is a Form 24.
Right.
I don't know what that is, and they didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I've got to have that, definitely, to go in the contract. Is that correct?
I don't know. Conveyancing is not my area of practice, Patricia, but I'll check in relation to that, and I'll make a comment on it for you next week, if you like.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay, then. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 28 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. We've probably got time for just one more call, as long as someone gets in very quickly. Otherwise, we'll need to leave it until next week. One of the other things too, just going back to my original comments about scam calls and texts, which is indirectly related to that, is that I was very pleased to see that the Maritime Union of Australia has withdrawn its industrial action against Patrick's in the lead up to Christmas, and I think they're going to defer industrial action until after the 10th of December, which means that all of the ships coming into Australia with goods on them that people are sweating on for Christmas presents, etc., will more than likely make it through. And the other thing, of course, is that it also appears that the truck drivers for toll have also secured a resolution in relation to the ongoing dispute that they had in relation to delivery trucks. And you might remember, of course, that they had planned to have strikes in the lead up to Christmas, which would have had catastrophic consequences for people, again with presents being delivered. But there the Transport Workers Union have reached an in principle agreement with Toll, thank goodness common sense has prevailed in both of those areas, and it looks like Christmas won't be disrupted. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for another program of The Law and You. I look forward to being back with you again next week, but as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 5597 3366.